Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hello and welcome to the Lorehounds. I'm David, and this is the final podcast in our special series on all things Alien. As you may know, it was the 45th anniversary of the movie that started the franchise off back in 1979, and we had the latest addition to the franchise this year with the release of Alien Romulus. As we've been evolving as a podcast over time, we've been experimenting with some new forms and formats and the different kinds of shows and topics that we want to cover. Our original Alien coverage started out as a simple one-shot to cover the 45th anniversary of the original 79 movie, and then it sort of grew into a multi-part series. The series included Aisha and I discussing the trailer for Alien Romulus and then setting up the project overall. And then the special crossover podcast that we did with Aisha, and we released that podcast both on every single sci-fi film ever, as well as the Lorehounds feed. And that conversation featured two academics, Roger Luckhurst and Jason Eberle, discussing the history and the legacy of the 79 movie. We also did a one-shot podcast with my fellow host Alicia and Aisha from every single sci-fi film, where we just talked about the movie and sort of geeked out on having fun on what an amazing film that is. And then we had our Lorehounds one-shot with the reactions to Alien Romulus. And for that, I was joined by Alicia and our co-hosts Jean and Ron Dawson. And then I also produced two bonus episodes for our subscriber community, looking in depth at both the trailers that were released for Romulus. The second of one, which was a video-based sort of visual breakdown to the second trailer. So this is our last podcast in the series, our community reactions to the Romulus movie. I do recognize that it's October and I would have liked to have gotten this out sooner, but nevertheless, here it is. For this podcast, I solicited some feedback from Aisha. I really wanted to hear what she thought of the movie after we spent all this time covering it in these various forms. But then I did something that was a little bit new, which is I hosted a couple of conversations with some of our listener subscribers. This aspect of talking with members of our community is a new thing, and it's something that I hope we can do more in the future. You know, specifically, John and I got started as podcasters because we were members of another podcast community, and we had felt like we had something to say, so we fired up a podcast. So, having come from community, we're very well aware that there are others like us, people who have something to say. But then for maybe standing up an entire podcast, that's not within the realm of possibility. So I think this is kind of a cool way to engage and include some of those members who are not only supporting our community, but they've got a point of view that they'd like to share. And I think that's what's cool about us, our community, is that we can share. We have the Discord. We have our subscriber podcast where folks can, you know, share what's going on in their lives and such. And I think this is just one more way of opening up that boundary a little bit and bringing in some additional voices. And to that end, we've got a couple of more special projects in the works for which I'll be soliciting some more community feedback. So we first have the 45th anniversary of Star Trek: The Motion Picture. That's the 1979 movie that rebooted the entire Star Trek franchise. For that, I'm going to be hosting a Lorehounds one-shot with a bunch of our other co-hosts. And for that pod, we're going to follow our usual template and review the movie on its own terms, sort of geek out on all the plot and characters and acting and all that kind of good stuff. And then I'm going to be doing another crossover podcast, this time with Ian from The Captain's Pod, which is a dedicated Star Trek podcast that our friend Aaron from Lore of the Rings introduced us to Danae and Ian, and we're going to be doing another project with them for the wrap-up for Rings of Power. But anyway, he and I are going to talk about the impact and legacy of Star Trek the Motion Picture and get into some of the background and context of what that movie meant for the franchise. And then I'm going to be looking to have some conversations with some of our subscribers about what the motion picture, Star Trek the Motion Picture, means to them. So keep your ears and eyes open. I'll be sending out some notifications for that pretty soon. After that, we're going to do a special project for the 50th anniversary of Dungeons and Dragons. But that podcast is yet to really take shape yet. I'm trying to finish up Rings of Power and then get started on the Star Trek project. And then we have the end of the year coming at us. So we'll see how that goes. I've got some ideas, but be on the lookout for news about that. So let's get into our conversations. First up, we have a voicemail from Aisha with her thoughts on Romulus. And then I have a conversation with Loremaster Doove71. And then I talk with both lore founder Shane and lore founder and server booster Dork of the Ninjas. So thanks again. I hope that the whole alien coverage has been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun to produce. It's a really great creative outlet. It's lovely to get off the track of the weekly coverage. Of course, we still love doing that stuff, but it's really fun to do these other creative in-depth projects. Oh, I should also note a couple of things. Full spoilers from here on out. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, go see that and then come on back. And I paired a series of questions for all of the community feedback conversations. So we start off with a game of Would You Rather? And then I ask for overall hot takes, what worked and what didn't work, and then a power ranking of all the final movies. So here's the conversation with Aisha. Oh, and definitely go check out her podcast. It's totally awesome. I loved working with her, and I love what she's doing over on every single sci-fi film ever. Link in the show notes below.
Get away from her, you...
Hello, Lorehounds. You've made me do my homework for this, as I'm not as familiar on alien lore as I think you guys might be. I'm fairly fanatical about the first film, and the first question did throw me off kilter, I think. Would you rather? That's a really strange question, and I'd rather no. Nope, absolutely not. I don't want to live in this future. I don't want to die in the Nostromo. I don't want to die in any of these places, because if there is a xenomorph, I do not want to be anywhere near it when it happens. I would not deal with protocol very well. I would let in infected people. I would be a mess. I would be dead very soon. And yeah, I don't want to be involved in any of this future. There might be some semblance of a life on Jackson's Colony, but personally, I need both sunshine and fresh air. And so I could maybe set up some kind of revolution on Hadley's Hope or Jackson's Colony, but I think these places are generally quite revolution-proof. And also, once they're infected by a xenomorph, there's no hope in these places. Not for Hadley, not for anyone. So if I had to choose one, I think because of my own bias towards the first film, I'd go for the Nostromo. And I would sign my death warrant, but at least I'd get to have breakfast and some chats before I get consumed by a horrible, scary, large alien. Okay, now about the film at hand, Alien Romulus. I don't do hot takes, lukewarm takes at best. I had a really fun time at the cinema. At one point, my husband said, "Kids in space!" And that made me laugh far too much. Very quietly, of course. I am very respectful in the cinema. And I enjoyed all the familiarity, and I suppose my lukewarm take is that, and I've read this online in other places, people who agree with me, and I agree with them, is that I enjoyed the kind of all the stuff that we love about Alien and the franchise. But I think it's that kind of balance of, I do want Easter eggs and I do want those things, but the fan service was, it's a difficult balancing act. You go too much on the fan service, you forget too often that you're watching a film and not some kind of, you know, spot the homage. It's a strange balance, and I'm not quite sure if I liked it. So basically, I don't know if I wanted a fan service film. I think I wanted something a bit more serious and less nudge, nudge, wink, wink to all the older iterations of this franchise. Having said that, I do think it gave me a lot of the positive stuff that I love about Alien and Aliens. So you've got a fantastic final girl, a questionable alien, a ragtag team of misfits, and a kind of absolute lack of hope against what, you know, it's as, I mean, as Ash said, it is the perfect organism. And, you know, apart from that final girl, you're all going to die. We're all going to die. Yeah, I was speaking to my husband about whether this film will breathe back life into the franchise, or if it is for some of us older people, elderly people. I'm not elderly, I'm just slightly old. It will breathe back some life, or if it's actually going to be like a fond farewell. Because it does, it is kind of a little salute at the tip of the hat and all that kind of things. It's probably great for a younger audience who maybe isn't as familiar with the older films. It's an interesting place to be. We'll see, because there's inevitably going to be sequels to this because of how successful it's been at the box office. So let's see. Okay, the things that I think worked in this film, straight in, and I'm sure loads of people are going to say this, is David Johnson as Andy the Android. Absolutely phenomenal performance. I will definitely be checking out his other work and hope to see him in a lot more things. He's such a great actor, and switching between the two different directives, the two different roles, he did it so well, so seamlessly. Maybe he is an android. Maybe he's not a human. We don't know. All the actors were really good. Like, at no point did I go, oh, this person can't act, which is great. I mean, you'd expect that, especially on a big budget film. But maybe due to being given such a chunky role for him, he really stood out. Really, really stood out. And I think everyone I've spoken to about it has said that. And what else worked? The thematic links worked. I think they probably try it every now and again, but the themes around reproduction, pregnancy and birth, I mean, they really leaned into that. And I think it was Roger Luckhurst, who we spoke to on the show about the 1979 Alien, said in his review of Alien Romulus that this was apt considering the US's current stance on, like, reproductive rights, etc., which I always find that stuff interesting. So I thought that was interesting. And then themes around androids and free will and human connections and sentience. I liked all of that. And I loved the practical effects. But for me, what didn't work was a little bit too much CGI still. I think especially when it came to Ian Holm's character. I've been told that, you know, it's a huge kind of nod to the games. I've never actually played the Alien games, so I understand that. But then again, it's that thing of, it's the balance of, do you want to do a nod, or you could just have an actor act it, and then I don't lose that feeling of being in, you know, in that space in the film. Because every time I saw his face do a weird CGI thing, I just thought, oh yeah, no, it's a film. And it brings you out of that trance. So that's what didn't work for me. And my final rankings of the main films are Alien, Aliens, Alien Romulus, Alien Resurrection, and then Alien 3. And I think a lot of people get really kind of passionate about which way Alien Resurrection and Alien 3 go. I'm not really that bothered which way they go, but that's the way I'm putting it for now. But yeah, thank you so much. I've had so much fun with this crossover, and yeah, hope to speak to you guys again soon. Bye.
All right, so let's start off, Duv, with a question of would you rather. Would you rather the USCSS Nostromo, LV-410 Jackson's Star, LV-426 Acheron, aka Hadley's Hope, Fiorina 161, also known as Fury 161, or the USM Auriga?
Oh, Corey, give me some options there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go the Nostromo.
Nostromo.
Yeah,
all right.
I love the ship design. I love the interiors, so that's why.
All right, fair enough. That's good. So you want to be a space trucker?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That looks cool.
So you're a bit of a franchise fan, aren't you?
I am an Alien. I'm a big Alien stan.
Uh-huh.
But Alien's got a weird special place because the first time I ever saw it, I was about 11 years old.
Right.
And it was on a small black and white TV.
Perfect, right? I know it exactly, right? The little one. And
at the foot of my bed when I shouldn't have been watching.
Brilliant.
Alien. And it wasn't so much the chest burster scene that got me. It was it was Dallas in the vent.
Ah, right.
When he turns around and that's what got me. Yeah. But so it was like, that's my memory of Alien.
Brilliant.
But yeah, Alien.
Have you ever seen It, Terror from Beyond Space?
No, I haven't, but I did. You referenced that in the Alien Romulus podcast.
Yeah, if you have a minute, check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's and you can really see where O'Bannon pulls lot of his inspiration from.
That should be good.
All right, so what's your overall hot take for Alien Romulus?
I'm going to throw it straight down. This, to me, was the best Alien movie since Aliens.
You know? Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone on record as liking Alien 3, probably because I like David Fincher's movies, and I could see what it was trying to do. But for me,
the sad thing about Alien 3 is that there's a movie in there, but sounds like the studio was constantly on his back. They were just up his backside constantly with notes and revisions, and he couldn't make the movie he wanted to make.
Yeah, I've seen the documentary on the quadrilogy. And you're right. What was proposed would have been, you know, visually stunning and quite interesting. But yeah, there was something in Alien 3 that I liked. But for me, this had Alien, you know, right up top in terms of the advertising and the Romulus underneath. So for me, yeah, it's Aliens, Alien, Alien Romulus for me, and then Alien 3 afterwards.
Got it. We were going to do a power ranking at the end, but you beat me to it. Perfect. No, it's all good. So have you read, have you played games and read the books?
I mean, so I read the original Dark Horse Alien. Mm-hmm. So I've read quite a few of those. But yeah, I mean, I played Alien Isolation.
A lot of people like that game, I think.
Oh my God, it scared the bejesus out of me. It really did. I mean, I went for the full immersive experience. So Dark Room. Headphones only. And yeah, that is pant-wettingly scary. I can't believe some people play that in VR. It's just, if you get the chance,
yeah,
it's definitely worth a game because it's got great ties to the original.
Mm-hmm.
So it leans in hard on the aesthetic. But it's just got a really good, storyline and it plays really well. So yeah, I definitely recommend it.
So what are some of the things that worked for you for Romulus? Like what are the buttons? So there's some nostalgia buttons that they mash, right? They press on really hard, but then they do a bunch of new and innovative stuff too. So like what was in the overall mix of things, what was working for you for the film?
I think from the get-go, the music's really evocative of both Alien and Alien. So it puts you right in the play, you know, it puts you, you're
totally
there. Yeah. You're there straight away. And I think that points to Freddy Alvarez being a bit of a student of the originals, but that sound design, that aesthetic. So you've got some of that original 1970s cassette futurism style on display. But from being on the planet, I got straight away. I was straight back into the world of Cameron's Aliens. She was looking at the video watch, and that to me was that real 80s brutalist industrial tech style.
Mm-hmm.
It all just seemed to work really well. So for me, really early on, the music, that kind of design, it was hitting the right member berries for me.
Yep.
You know, that's what it was doing really well. And, you know, the setup was fairly quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got into
it. Yeah, I really like the efficiency.
Yeah,
they set the stakes, they set the clock running, they click the stopwatch, go. And then you know from right there you're just on the roller coaster ride.
And to be honest, the motivation of the protagonist was spot on. You know, who wouldn't want to get off that hellhole? Mm-hmm. And you're being screwed over by the company, you'd take any chance you'd get. So
I got real Andor vibes when she was talking to the woman behind the thing and the clock resets. And I'm like, oh, man.
Could you imagine Tony Gilroy doing an alien?
Well, I'm really excited for what's his name for Alien Earth.
Yeah, that looks interesting.
Yeah,
so that'd be good. But yeah, so the kind of sound design, the design, the world building was done again, like you said, very efficiently. You know, there were some good early nods to the originals, you know, the cornbread.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And the little nod in.
The little drinky bird.
Yeah. So that's really good. So that was that was getting me straight into that world. It was getting me ready for an alien movie. And also, I think it gave me confidence that, oh, this guy kind of gets it.
Mm-hmm. You
know, I'm already seeing practical sets. I'm seeing the grime. So, yeah, so that was good.
Did you like the F-44 AA pulse rifle?
Yeah. I mean, there were a load of people that were moaning online about it, going, oh, but it seemed really advanced. It's like, well, you run a research station, so you're going to be getting cutting-edge tech anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's designed for non-military personnel, so they're all scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if you notice how many rounds she has to expend to kill a warrior, you realize this isn't the M1A1 explosive-tipped,
mm-hmm.
Armor-piercing caseless that you had in Aliens. So,
right.
No, I mean, I thought it was great. And I thought it just, again, the DNA was there.
Yep, yep.
You could see the link.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's great.
And in terms of a mechanic, like a plot mechanic, having the aiming stabilization system that they had, I thought that was actually an ingenious design. And like you said, this is for non-military personnel, people who have probably, have they even fired this weapon? Have they even gone to a range with this weapon yet? And they've been maybe trained with basic operation to turn it on, what have you. So I thought it as a plot element design and fitting into the world. Yeah, I think you're right. It fits right in.
I think that to me again reinforces that he kind of gets where some of the problems with perhaps the prequels, you know, where stupid people were doing stupid stuff. You know, Covenant, I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
So actually, you know, that makes complete sense. And again, it just gave me that. I'm seeing it. I'm going, oh, this looks interesting.
Right.
And it didn't take me out of it. However.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, the next question is, what didn't work?
There's two things that didn't work. Are we spoilering or not spoilering?
Oh, full spoilers.
Full spoilers.
Safety's right. Off.
Okay. That line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You bitch. Oh, my
God. Because there's no context for it.
No, it was complete. I mean, I think I said to Alicia, I really hope to God that was a studio note,
mm-hmm.
and not Fede Alvarez, because
right.
This guy has wrapped himself around me, put a warm blanket on me. He's taking me, you know, into the world of Alien. And that took me, that line took me out at that moment.
Yeah.
Took me out of the movie. And I was just like, why the hell would you do it? So, and luckily my wife just looked at me and went, why?
Because he turns the camera and it's almost like he's breaking the fourth wall and saying, and I don't know that it was necessary because we have so many other member berries.
I know.
Touching all three of the first three films that you didn't need that.
No, I mean, the subtlety of some of the links were brilliant. You know, they're looking at the black goo in the in the laboratory, and you get that little tiny bit of Prometheus.
Yep.
And you're just like, yeah, that's how you do it. And then you get that, and you're just like, whoa. Talk about taking the needle off the record. So that was just horrific. I don't know why that was in there. And I've also got to say, and again, I'm on record with this one, I didn't like the other. It just felt like it was a redux of in Alien 4.
You didn't like, sorry, I missed what you said, that you didn't like.
The other, you know, the baby, that, you know, right at the end, that becomes the other.
Oh, looks, right, yeah.
It looks like an engineer.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it just called back to Alien 4.
Mm-hmm.
He'd got that. I mean, what he was really good at was that ramping that tension up and maintaining the tension and the level of tension, doing that good thing of, you're taking you to the edge.
Yep.
Bringing you down and then taking you beyond again.
Right.
And we'd got all of that back into the ship. And I think this is why I am completely crossing the line into fandom now. Because in my head, I was looking at the scene where I can't remember the main protagonist's name, sorry.
Rain,
where she's putting a friend into the cryosleep.
Right.
Just before she's about to give birth. And in my head, what flashed into my head was the Marines and Aliens going, you know, is this a rescue mission or a bug hunt?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh my God, are they going to go to sleep? Are they going to go to this planet? And based on what the black goo does, is it going to like spawn a load of new life, which colonial Marines have had to go and sort out, hence the bug hunt? So for, you know, like 10 seconds, my headcanon was like, oh wow, this is going to be really good. And then we had the birth.
Right. And then we went into the whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just like, all right, okay.
Resurrection thing.
Yeah. So it kind of didn't spoil it for me. You know, it's not ruined the movie, but, you know, it was almost like, did you have to have that extra little bit?
I heard a brief interview with Fede Alvarez, and he said, he sort of told one on himself, and he said, as a director, I'm always looking to go one step beyond. Like, if you're going to spend your time and your money with me, yeah, I'm just going to give you everything I can squeeze into it. And I was like, okay, A, I appreciate that. That's cool, because you're thinking about me and my experience and what you want to provide me as a creative. That's cool. But then B, you need an editor. You know, you should be doing that. You should be going all out, but then we need a good editor that cuts that back. And like you said, you know, maybe does something different where we hang and we open up a potential future storyline, because there's not everything is answered.
No, that's right. And I think for me, having that at the end was kind of like, you've been given this sumptuous banquet. You've had everything you want. You know, you're getting to the point of being over full, and you've had a really sweet dessert, and the sugar is now hitting you. And then he just decides, no, there's another course, and even more sugar on it.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Exactly.
So I kind of get exactly what you're saying there. Yeah, it's good for a director to do that. You know, put it all on the field, get it all out there. But then a good editor goes, you probably don't need.
This bit. Keep it
but
tight.
Yeah.
Keep it
tight. As I said, you know, it's not ruined this film for me, and I've seen it again, and I'm going to see it again. This is going to be one of those movies on a rotation, I think.
It's good hang, isn't it? It's just a good summer thriller, action horror kind of thing.
And that's what, to be honest, in the franchise, that's what we've needed.
My God, yeah. We need to get away from the heavy... A lot of people are really into the Prometheus Covenant storyline and the origins and the engineers and that kind of stuff. And to me, that's almost a different set of movies that... And I can never get over the bad, stupid characters doing stupid stuff and the bad acting to get to the deeper stuff. But man, there's a lot of people who are real, you know, really interested in the deeper storylines.
And you know, fair play to Alvarez. You know, he did bring some of that in. You know, we've got the classic, you know, synthetic life perpetuating the hubris of humans, you know, thinking that they could take the goo and actually refine it. So there's the whole, you know, Promethean fire debate there. So I mean, that to me was fine. That's all it needed. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's 30% of a good movie in Prometheus. And I think I'm not even sure. I don't know what to say about Covenant.
Right.
Every now and again, like every two or three, I'll go, yeah, I'll watch it again. Is there something there that I've enjoyed? There's little bits, but overall, it's just a hot mess.
Yeah. All right. So what was your power ranking of the non-prequel movies again?
So for non-prequel, it's definitely Aliens.
Aliens,
yeah.
Got it.
That's just because of my age when I watched it.
It really is. Thing. It is. Yeah, you know. Same. Everyone I've talked with about, if they were of in a certain age range and they saw this, it's like, that's set. It's done.
Yeah. And then Alien, and then Alien Romulus, number three, and then Alien 3.
Okay.
Fourth. So yeah, that's my power ranking.
And I think we could just leave Resurrection. We'll just throw that on the heap. We'll throw that in the rubbish bin. And
again, I kind of like a bit of, there's nothing wrong with a bit of French expressionism in a sci-fi movie.
You know? Fair
enough. Ron Perlman, always like Ron Perlman. Nothing
sure.
Like hearing the scenery, but nah, again, just a bit. Just, it's like the Alien versus Predator movies. That's a different universe.
It's almost like Resurrection belongs with the AVP stuff. It's just so over the top.
That's the Elseworlds. I'll leave that as Elseworlds.
Fair enough. Great, dude. Well, thanks very much for hopping on with me today. Thanks for being a Loremaster subscriber. We really appreciate it. We couldn't do any of this without y'all. And thanks for being just a great community member. It's really good to talk with you today.
No, it's brilliant to talk to you about something that I just love, the Alien universe. This is my jam.
Perfect.
Thanks very much.
You bet. Well, we'll talk again soon.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Okay, I am here with Michael, a.k.a. Dork of the Ninjas, and Shane, a.k.a. Shane, I guess.
Yep, that's all it is.
Yeah, cool. How you doing, Michael?
Doing pretty good.
Good to see you.
Yeah?
Have you been?
Not bad. Just got back in from out of work, so out of town first, so I'm just kind of like getting back into the regular sleep schedule, hopefully.
Right on. Shane, how you doing? You're in New York, right?
Yep, I'm in New York City, yes.
Yeah, things are hot there. I heard things are a little bit hot.
Super hot, super hot. I'm waiting for the fall. I have my fall clothes ready because you got to switch out. I don't have the largest apartment, so it's a kind of a process to change out from your summer to the fall and winter clothes, and I kind of did it a little early. So now I'm only working with a few t-shirts left.
Do you use your oven as a storage closet?
I would if it was bigger.
We were housed during a long time ago when our daughter had sort of just been born and we were doing some moving and some painting. We were staying at a friend's apartment way up Washington Heights, I think. And they had the condo that they had moved into had a kosher kitchen. So there were two ovens. Mm-hmm. And the one oven that we thought was their main oven, I turned on the oven for something, and it turns out that there's a whole bunch of stuff in there.
Oh my God!
we caught it really early, and so it melted a little bit of a plastic bag, and there was some. It was food related stuff, so it wasn't bad, but
but still not. Oh no!
If you're visiting New York City, always.
Yeah, you never know. You never know what will happen.
That's right. Cool. All right. So talking about Alien Romulus, would you rather the Nostromo LV-410 Jackson Star, LV-426, the planet Acheron and or Hadley's Hope? I suppose we could throw in the Alien spacecraft as well, if you wanted to get really specific. Fiorina 161, a.k.a. Fury 161, or the USM Auriga, which are the... what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 main films, not including Predator or Prometheus and Covenant or the AVPs. So would you rather? It's an ambiguous question.
Which one's the one from 3? What was it?
3 is Fury.
Okay. I would go that one.
Fury. Wow.
Out of my choices. If I had to, I look at it this way. The other ones, you're just going to die. Gonna die. 3 is not great. It's not a good option, but it's the best of a bad option, in my opinion.
Sure. Shane?
I guess I'm going to Stromo. Classic. I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to die. You're right, but there's at least some defenses on there. I'm looking it up right now. Lockheed Martin, great corporation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, well, not so much lately, but I think I'm going to go with the Nostromo. That's right. That's my move.
I mean, fair enough. It's going to be a space trucker over there.
Very cool. Michael, what's your overall hot take for the movie? What did you think of Romulus? And spoilers free, right? Weapons free here. So go for it.
Overall, I'm not going to get into rankings because I know we're doing that later.
Right.
I would definitely say that it's easily in the top half of the movies for me, for sure. Not even really even have to think about it. Really enjoyed everything for it overall. Had a couple little, that's a choice moments in
right,
it.
Yeah,
but overall, it's like, but I honestly just kind of let them roll, decided, hey, I'm just going to let them see where they go with this. And overall, I ended up enjoying where they went with those. Usually.
Cool. Yeah. Any detail? I mean, we can get into some more specifics, but anything particular that you wanted to touch on really quick before we flip to Shane?
The biggest one is bringing back the actor for Ash. That was the one that I was like, that's not exactly something I think you should be doing as much as you're doing, but overall I think it worked, except for just the visuals of it were not great 100% in my opinion. But from what I understand, the family seemed like they were okay with it and everything like that. So I'm not eked out by that, but I still kind of feel a little icky on it in some ways. But I will say the smart move was to move it from not having to see him in person and switching to that screen version of him, which made the effect work a lot better because it's like it filtered it out in some ways. And of course, the what do they call the creature at the end? What is a lot of people calling it? The infant or something like that? Or
is it the offspring? Newborn? No, the newborn is four, I think, resurrection.
Four is
the offspring, yeah. You're right.
The offspring. That thing is the most terrifying in design in some ways. And I'm like, don't like that. but I think it's really well done overall. It's definitely doesn't give me the thing of, like you were saying on the one from four. The four just looks, that one looks goofy to me. Whereas this one actually looks like, oh no, that's nightmare fuel.
Shane, what are you, where are you going?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to just agree completely, but it's definitely in the top half for me too. I came to the saga a little late. I saw AVP first, which is kind of funny. I think I was like 12 years old. That was my first introduction.
Nice.
And then I kind of went backwards. So I saw AVP, and then Alien 4 and Alien 3 were always on FX. So I used to watch them on cable all the time as a kid. And then I eventually saw Aliens and Alien. And then I was like, oh, these are the good ones. This is what everyone's talking about.
Right.
But I think for me, same thing.
And you're a bit of a film buff, right? I mean, you're into cinema, you would consider yourself. Did Alien 79, did that just knock your socks off? What was your reaction when you first saw the first Alien?
So it's funny, like I kind of became, I've always liked movies, but I think as I've gotten older, more and more really into the making of movies and the production. Growing up, me and my brothers and my dad would always watch movies. So we'd always do it. And then I never really thought of it as like a passion or anything until I got much older. And then I started watching more Oscar festival films and things like that. Right. But of course, I still stay true to my roots and I watch the big blockbusters. But yeah, Aliens, I still rewatch it all the time. I rewatched it a few days ago. And I think even talking with Rook, I think agreed, Rook didn't really work for me. I think that could have been Bishop easily. Lance Hendricks is alive. The actor's alive, so you could have used him. It works with the timeline, too, because it's between Alien and Alien, so you could have used Bishop. It's not like it's a different type. I think that's what they're saying. That's why they used Ian Holm, because it's Rook is
more
the same.
Timeline
exactly.
Accurate. Yeah.
The same android as Alien. And, I mean, I love The Offspring, too. I think that terrified me. Fede Alvarez is kind of I guess I would say a sicko. He's definitely crosses the line sometimes. Like once they said Kate was pregnant, I knew that was not, it was going to go
boom,
south.
Right.
And I'm kind of a Prometheus apologist. I love Prometheus. So once they kind of introduced more of the Prometheus into it, I was even more into the movie.
Okay.
And then I think some of the throwbacks are a little much, like the line, like, get away from her, you bitch. I think my theater popped because it was kind of, I saw it early release. So my theater was a huge fan. So it popped. But I think probably at other theaters, people might have cringed or groaned. I really like the final line that Spaney says, like, just die, motherfucker, if you can curse on this. I don't know.
We're explicit.
Oh, yeah. She's die, motherfucker, which was awesome. I thought that was a great final line. You didn't really need the throwback, that throwback line. And then for me, it was the set pieces. The cast doesn't cost a lot of money. You can tell these are actors that are a lot of TV actors, little small parts here and there. Spaney obviously is getting big now, but I can't imagine the cast cost a lot of money. So I think a lot of the money went to the set pieces and practical design. And I think the zero gravity scene is up there with any scene that they did in any Alien movie. I really like the zero gravity scene, as well as the face huggers with doing the body temperature. I don't think that has been done before. I don't think they hid from face huggers using
a new lore. Yeah.
And I thought that was cool. I thought that was a good introduction.
It gave me Walking Dead vibes a little bit, though. Big time.
Which, hey, Walking Dead was great at the start. It kind of fell off. Yeah. But people loved it the first three seasons. Frank Darabont, like, great creator there. So that's not that worse. That's not that bad of a comp.
Michael, what's your personal history with the franchise? What do you remember seeing first?
I went through the original four first.
Okay.
I saw the first one when I was like 15.
Okay.
It was with I was with my brother and his ex. We went through the entire movies. This is my first, and I also was not allowed to see a lot of R-rated movies when I was really young anyway.
Okay.
So the chest burster scene happened and I was like, sank into my seat so hard.
Yeah.
Of course, I love the first two movies, just like everybody who's watched these movies does. Yeah. I didn't hate Alien 3. Alien 4, I was like, what? Why is this goofy now? when it came down to what it was. That was my first real moment of like being really interested in a franchise and being like, why don't I like this as much? And I wasn't my film criticism brain was just starting to, because like the first movie was between that and whenever I saw Pulp Fiction for the first time, were the two movies that made me like really big into movies in general.
The switch got flipped.
Yeah, I was like, those are the first two movies that I really remember looking back. And I'm like, yeah, these are the ones that got me started on really being like a film buff of any type at all. So it's like, it was definitely like, I've definitely loved the series. I like Prometheus overall. Like I said, I didn't get around to Covenant just sports because just never came up to be a good time to getting around to it.
Mm-hmm.
I've not heard like never heard enough to where it's like it never heard it was horrible or great enough to be like I have to go see it in one way or another. It's like it's fine is what I heard. So it's like I'll probably get to it eventually. But I do like a lot of stuff in Prometheus with the stuff with David and everything going on in that movie. At least the android stuff is the stuff that's most interesting to that movie to me. But yeah,
I could never get beyond. I know there are so many Prometheus fans who, because they see and can feel and vibe with the big picture story stuff about creation and life and death and stuff. I can never get past stupid people doing stupid stuff and and actors that I don't buy you in this role. Or
it went more the slasher of like a 90 of like an early 70 like late 70s early 80s movie versus where the first Alien movie had that element in there, but it was like the characters were intelligent though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like you never felt in the first Alien movie that anybody was stupid
or doing things that they were reacting as real people.
Yeah, it never felt like, hey, I'm just going to do a stupid thing because I'm a stupid person.
Because the writer is making me push.
The people in Prometheus make even less sense to be stupid because these are supposed to be scientists at the top of their craft for the most part, except for like maybe the pilot of the ship. And he's honestly the smartest character in the movie to me. I think overall he's like, hey, don't bring that onto my ship. Don't do this. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I guess I got to take the ship down. He takes out the whole thing with his crew. He's like, but he's like the most intelligent character. And he's the one who's supposed to be the least educated out of everybody there.
But Shane, you're down for some Prometheus action.
For sure. Yeah. And I like Covenant as well. I think he's not wrong. I mean, Covenant kind of continues that trend of some characters making some stupid decisions. That's definitely continues, especially Billy Crudup's character. And Covenant makes some outrageous decisions. But the cast in Covenant, awesome. Just as good as Prometheus. Covenant does have a little too much CGI, but I kind of like the David part. David is great in Covenant. If you like David in Prometheus, it's just more of that in Covenant. Right. There's scenes with Fassbender playing against Fassbender, which are like legendary scenes.
Right,
Covenant's definitely not as good as Prometheus for me, but I think It has some moments. It definitely has some moments. I definitely like it more than like 4. 3 and Covenant are close for me because 3, you're right, has moments where I'm like, this is a great movie. And then there are other moments where I'm like, that didn't work for me. There's just some too much early CGI where they try to make, like they're using new technology that wasn't quite there yet with the alien on the his four legs. But I do like 3 a lot. I think
Charles Dance can tell so good where the studio started fuck with it on 3 at the end because it's quite a compelling story up until Waylon shows up and it just gets messy from there.
It still has, I think, the most iconic shot in all of the series.
Oh yeah,
like definitely. Not even close. The shot of the xenomorph right next to Ridley. That is the most iconic shot I think in any of the Alien movies. Period.
Yeah. So, and they recreated it Fede Alvarez studied very carefully, I think, 1 through 4. He even brought in 4 in the sense that it's kind of a space station research thing.
And the offspring.
And the offspring, exactly. And that was one of my questions for both of you was, did it work or didn't it work to put in so many member berries? There is a level of
We need to match technology. We need to match spaceship hallway designs, you know, weaponry, technology that needs to look Mother. I thought Mother looked great in Romulus.
Yeah.
But we didn't get as much with her or, you know, the interface. Anyway, we need to match. We need to be in the timeline. But did we need all of this direct member berries and these call-outs, these shots? And it, for me personally, it never broke anything except for the "you bitch" line.
Yeah, I think that's basically where I land on it too. Like the "you bitch" line was like a little bit, the line too, like that's the half line too far, but it didn't break me to the point where I'm like, okay, that's too much. It was like, that's silly. But
there was no context for him to say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like he's never been the person to curse from what I've seen. I've never seen that stuff like at all. Like I would have bought her saying it more than him saying it. Like if it had been her doing the exact same moment, even I'd be like, yeah, that fits.
Yeah.
Or that 100%.
Even her to Kate when Kate is at the end when she's getting attacked by the offspring. I think that also would have worked.
That's actually a good call.
That would have been, I think that would have been even better to be honest. Cause like, it's not just a plain xenomorph even.
Mm-hmm. I almost thought she was going to say it. I really did. Yeah.
I would have been like, okay, you're doing it twice. That's a bit much. But at the same time, like if they had done that for the offspring, I'm like, that would have been even better. I think it was something like that. But overall,
power rankings. Shane, where are you? What's your rank for these movies?
So I think Alien is number one for me.
79.
79. Yeah. I think when it goes back to it, I love the horror aspect of it. I think Aliens, Cameron is more of the action film.
Yep.
And I love Cameron. I just like Ridley's direction a lot in Alien and just how it still holds up to this day. You can watch it today on your TV and it still looks great. Aliens, I know, famous for this remaster that's going out now that everyone's upset about. But Aliens is my number two for sure. I mean, it's hard to put it. And then I think it's hard. I think I put this at three. I really do. I think I'm close. I'm close with this one and Alien 3. I think I'll put this one at three just because I really like.
Are you including in your power rankings? Are you including Prometheus and
I am.
Covenant?
Yeah, I am. Okay. I am. And I'm putting them right behind those two. So those are right after them. Yeah. And it's kind of a tier. It's almost like a tier, though.
It is. I have below. The same. I have the dumpster fire tier and then,
and then everything else. I mean, and it's funny because Alien 4 Resurrection has gotten love on Twitter right now. I don't know if you've seen this recently. Oh yeah, reemergence. So people are coming back.
I love it as a dumpster fire movie. I don't love it as a good movie, but as a movie you just watch and just have popcorn, like, oh, it's fantastic.
Gobble a bunch of edibles or whatever your thing is, and then just
100%. It is not a movie to watch as a serious fan, but as a person who's like, I just want to watch something stuff.
You can almost throw it into the Alien versus Predator tier.
Yeah. 100%.
Just goofy 100%. Fun.
Yes.
Yeah. And then those two are the bottom. AVP and AVPR. Because AVPR, you can't even see it. It's the darkest movie I've ever
seen. It's so dark. The color grading is so bad in that movie. It's just like, what happened here?
There's like 40 upwards of like 50 kills, but you don't see a single one. So it's not
that. Yeah, for real.
I think for me, that's kind of my biggest thing with Romulus is I kind of wish it was a bigger cast. And I wish there was more, maybe more deaths, which is kind of like I'm being sadistic, but I do wish a little bit more.
Kind of go for the movies for that, though.
I want a little bit more.
I will say that the most satisfying death was the jerk to the
Bjorn. His name was Bjorn. Yes, isn't that funny? His name is Bjorn. I don't think anyone
knows. All right, so quick bonus question then. Mm-hmm. Character death rankings. Power rankings.
For Romulus or for
For Romulus. Romulus. Okay. I'll list in order on screen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Navarro died, then Bjorn, then Tyler, then Rook, then Kay, and then the alien baby.
Okay. Oh, that's rough. That's hard. That's really hard, I'd say.
I think
Bjorn is my favorite just because like of how gruesome it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was because like we've seen the acid blood used before, but I've never seen it that horrifically.
Where you're watching it affect you. I mean, with Michael Biehn and Aliens, it splashed on his armor and they got the armor off of him.
Yeah.
But you're sitting there underneath this thing and it's dripping on you and you're watching the hole in your chest.
You're just like, oh no. Because like the initial fingers happen because like that guy, that man had the worst hand trauma in the entire. First he gets two fingers frozen and then a few minutes later he gets two.
That's right.
And I'm
he couldn't catch a break.
I mean, it's like the only thing could have been worse for a lot of people if it had been eye trauma involved too.
Are we Bjorn is number one, right?
For me at least, okay. I would say
Shane is
the chest bursters.
I'm gonna go K number one. I think
K number one.
Because how did she died by
in childbirth?
She died.
No.
Breastfed to death. That was crazy.
That's pretty bad.
That was bad, and I think Navarro's bad too because it almost felt like it was a premature chest burster. It came out like higher up.
Yeah,
definitely is bad. I mean, obviously, Bjorn, like you said,
I really wish that hadn't been spoiled in the trailers, though.
Yeah,
One thing I really wish hadn't been spoiled.
They got to get people in there, though.
But that was.
Now, the portable X-ray thing was not only great Chekhov's portable X-ray.
Yeah.
But it also gave us some new body horror in the lore, right? Yeah. That was really cool.
Because
the
moment
she put it on her arm, you're like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you didn't see the trailer.
Yeah, if you add to the trailer, you're like, well, I know what that's going to be used for.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just going to be used for one of the most horrific things ever.
All right, so Navarro number two?
For Navarro. Kay would say for three for me.
Okay.
I feel like Tyler gets it off pretty easy. He just gets a nice little headshot, and then he's over.
Yeah, I mean, he gets the iconic second.
Right.
That's what he gets.
Which is immediate.
Yeah, I would say that was probably four. I'd say Rook after that.
I mean, Rook dies in the station blow-off.
Just seeing the wall come towards him I'm like, you're just about to be sandblasted.
Yeah.
You're just about to be sandblasted. And that's kind of great.
That was also an awesome design, the rings.
The rings. Really cool. Yeah, that was I loved it also when they're hanging out, when there's she's trying to kick the offspring off her finally. You see it. If you pay attention to the background, it's there being destroyed, sandblasted in the background of that shot the entire time.
Oh, right? Cool.
You just see the fireball of it happening slowly.
Yeah, I'm waiting for PVOD so I can watch it again.
What kid hasn't imagined what rings actually look like? Stony structures, I guess.
And from a story construction standpoint, it's really great because there's immediately ticking clock.
Yeah.
And then at about, I think it's about 52 minutes when the shuttle crashes into the fuel tanks and then that gets shortened and that as a story construction device, it's great because we know we have a bookend for our thing. We know that she's got to escape by, you got 20 minutes left. Better get moving.
Get moving. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Great, yeah.
So Michael, your final power ranking.
I would say I like to work from bottom up. So for me, the bottom one would be Resurrection.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The AVP movies as well, that listing as well.
They don't have to be counted if you don't want to.
Yeah, I would say if we're going to go with it, I'm like, those three are kind of all in the same way, dumb fun movies.
Right.
Then I would say probably Alien 3.
Okay.
Then
are you including Prometheus and Covenant?
Yes, I'm not Covenant because I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Prometheus after that. Then I would say Romulus and then Alien 79 and then Aliens is my top.
Okay. Very similar.
Yeah, yep. The thing is, I will also say, though, Romulus has a chance on rewatch to possibly overtake 79 for me. I know it's a hot take. But the thing is, I need to rewatch it. But I also need to rewatch 79. It's been a while since I rewatched 79.
Sure.
So it's like a situation of I want to watch those three. I kind of want to watch them.
And judge. Okay, that's fair.
I want to kind of watch them, though, in sequence, though. Watch 79, Romulus, then Aliens, and just see how well they kind of because they don't really need to really connect really super heavily anyway. But it's just seeing the little bits of what crossover little bits are there.
I did the storyline order, the universal in story universe order, and then watched AVPs at the end for fun. But before Romulus came out, I did that
for
all the podcasts. Yeah. So, and I think I watched Alien, I don't know, four times, five times. I don't know, in preparation.
You did a few different podcasts on it, so it's understandable.
Yeah.
I'm not saying right now 79 is being overtaken by Romulus. That's not we're there yet. We're not there yet.
It's a situation. Will come for you.
It's I understand if they do. Like I said, it's as of right now, it's one is Aliens, two is Alien 79, then Romulus.
Got it.
As it stands.
Right.
I think there's a possibility it could overtake it, but that's on rewatch as needed.
That's my top tier as well. Well, because Aliens for me in 86, that's nostalgia. That's going to the movie with my friends. It's a particular summer of my life. And so, yeah, it's really just an extraordinary thing. But Alien as my number two, it's still like, I mean, we're talking a battle of millimeters here because Alien is such a masterclass of filmmaking. It's exceptional. Yeah. And then Romulus is my number three right in there.
Yeah.
And then Alien 3, like we said, it's fine. And then I don't know what to do with Covenant and Prometheus. And then, you know, Resurrection is just fucking dumb.
It's not great.
I will say it has cool moments for sure.
I just
there's a perfect little piece of bite of food on a pile of shit. So it's right, not
exactly.
But it's only gonna do so much for it.
That's right.
It's funny if we talk about generational. I have the same thoughts, but with Prometheus, like you said, Aliens going with your friends. I went with Prometheus with all my friends to IMAX, and we were like just blown away by the scale.
It's slick. It's such a slick looking movie. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. One thing that those are not, they're not visual, they're not bad to look at movies.
I was going to say, Andor, in Romulus, Kaylee Spaney, where she's living in the beginning is the same set of Andor, the prison set. So because it's the Disney production, they reuse the Andor prison set for the beginning of Romulus. Where I didn't notice either. My little brother texted me and I was like, wow, that's crazy good eye. Yeah, it's the exact same floors and the same bunks.
Huh. That's cool.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, and are not going to waste.
I thought it looked visually similar, but I was like, I didn't make that connection to it.
My little brother, I got to give him credit. I didn't notice that, but yeah, nice. I mean, at least Andor's getting some love.
Can't wait for Andor.
Me too.
All right, well, let's wrap up a final quick question, which I didn't have on our little outline for you, but Shane, what is one piece of media? It could be music, book, TV show, anything that is just got you fired up right now?
Yeah. All right. This is a great question. So I'm actually reading this series by Pierce Brown right now called the Red Rising series.
Okay. I don't know it at all.
Pretty much obsessed with it right now. I'm on book, I think there's six published. I'm on five right now.
Cool.
It's the first three is its own trilogy, and then it's a sequel trilogy kind of, but with the same characters a little bit. They're kind of aged up. It's kind of like a sci-fi with Roman aspects of it, like a little Warhammer aspects. It's very, very good. Very popular. American author. I think he just sold the rights to Amazon Prime. Okay. But yeah, it's the Red Rising series. That's kind of what I've been really into right now.
Right on. Michael?
Biggest thing is I would say right now, something I've been very much hyper-fixating on recently, is there is a musical series that got birthed off of TikTok called Epic the Musical. It is an adaptation of the Odyssey that has been done all by modern stuff like that. It is still technically
like TikTok videos telling the Odyssey.
It was originally a person on TikTok created the whole process, and he just recruited people off of TikTok to basically be voices in the other voice actors for the other characters.
Okay,
and it's a full length musical at this point. It's like it's on Amazon and all like and
what's it called?
Epic the Musical.
Epic the Musical. Epic.
Yeah, it is. It's got seven of its nine parts out so far.
Okay.
It's basically the entirety of the Odyssey is what it's supposed to be. It starts at the end of the Trojan War, and as it stands right now, it's gone through quite a bit of stuff so far.
60 million views.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
That's
Disney and HBO would wish they had numbers.
Oh
like
my
that.
Gosh, dude. Well, I cannot tell you how
they're just
going
to buy it. They're going to buy it. What do you mean? We'll see this on Disney Plus pretty soon.
I cannot tell you how good the music is in it either. Like it's very well structured overall. Like I recommend anybody who likes musicals.
A good musical, yeah.
And if like one person has, like I said, it's like if you're not really big on musicals but you kind of enjoyed Hamilton, I would recommend it too. Okay. It's not all the way out yet. It technically has two more parts to it. It has seven of the nine sagas, they call them out. Okay. It's very inspired by video games and anime as well. The person who created it is big on both of those. So he's like, I kind of brought that type of arcing system into it as well.
Nice.
So I highly recommend that.
Are you looking forward to Joker 2?
I am interested in it for sure. But it's like, I'm definitely probably going to probably check that out. It comes out, what, the end
October
of the month? Or
sometime in October. I'll be seeing it.
Yeah, I'll be checking it out too. It's like, it's one of those, like, I liked the first one just fine. I was kind of, why are they making a sequel? And then I found out what they're doing with it. I'm like, I'm way more interested now. Because it's like, that's more interesting and weird. Unique. I like it.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thanks, guys. This was fun. Hopefully we'll do it again a little bit more. I'm kind of, working on this idea of getting some more community reactions from time to time when we've got, particular movies or projects like we're doing now. I'm starting to work on Star Trek The Motion Picture 45th anniversary, and so we'll have some stuff on that. But it was great chatting with you guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming around.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. And always happy to join. I watch a lot of movies, so any movies on there. And then also I just want to shout out the Rings of Power coverage has been amazing.
Yes.
Thank you. I share with all my friends. They're asking for the lore. Because no one, I mean, especially the scholar we have on Maryland is just an insight that you just wouldn't get from other pods. It's, you guys are crushing it. So
yeah.
Cool. All right, fellas. Thanks very much. Talk to you soon. Okay, I hope that was an enjoyable set of conversations. I know I had a lot of fun talking with those folks, and I look forward to talking with more of you in the future. Definitely hit me up on the Discord if you would like to maybe pop up on another podcast in the future, or look for subscriber notifications when I do some call-outs for looking for people to join me on these conversations. If you are enjoying our content and you think you'd like to support the community, I would invite you to join us either on Supercast or Patreon. Supercast is kind of like Patreon, but it's better for podcasters. We have the same exact tier systems on both sides, but Patreon is more well known and quite easy to do. Also, be on the lookout for some of our bigger shows. We will be doing more season pass offerings, which are one-time purchases. So instead of having the whole thing of a recurring subscription, you can just buy a season pass for a particular show. And we're going to be reserving those for our bigger shows that we've got. But yeah, the subscriptions mean a lot to us. It helps us to support our co-hosts as well as to cover all of our costs for putting all this material together. Links for everything are in the show notes below. Go to the Linktree link, and then you'll see all of the various links that are in there. Also, check out all of our affiliates. We have our newest affiliate member is Nevermind the Music, an amazing music podcast that goes into depths around how songs work and the psychology of songs. And the cool thing is that you don't have to like a particular song or be into a particular genre of music, because Mark and Nicole are just a really compelling duo on the mic, and they have so many interesting things to say. So definitely check them out. We've got Properly Howard movie review. We've got Radioactive Ramblings, which is covering some Fallout stuff right now. Of course, Alicia over on Wool Shift Dust, as well as her Star Wars Canon Timeline project. So we've got a lot going on. All of those links, again, are in the show notes. As always, we like to give a shout out to our supporters in the community, to our Discord server boosters, those folks who donate their Nitro subscriptions to make the server a more functional and funner place for our community, because that's where we gather. That's our virtual water cooler Discord. And so we've got Gnarls, Aaron K, Tiller the Thriller, Dork the Ninjas, Doove71, Captain Gingy 56, Athena Agilea, Adrian, Tina Lestu, Nancy M., and Ghost of Perdition. Thank you all so very much for those donations. To our Lore Master subscribers, these are our top-tier subscribers. These are our folks that really are the cornerstone of our ability to do all this work. And as of October 2024, those are Samartian, Michael G., Michelle E., David W., Brian P., SC, Peter OH., Bettina W., Adam S., Nancy M., Doove71, Brian 8063, Frederick H., Sarah L., Gareth C., Eric F., Matthew M., Sarah M., DJ Miwa, Andra B., Kwong Mu, Deadeye Jedi Bob, Nathan T., Alex V., Aaron T., Sub-Zero, Aaron K., Dally V., Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W., Lestu, Jeffrey B., Elisa U., Fossi U., Neil F., Ben B., Charlotte M., Scott F., and forever last but never least, Adrian. Thank you all so very much for your subscriptions. And thank you to everyone, whether you're a subscriber or not. We're just glad that you're here and that you're able to join together with fellow Lorehound folks and to nerd out on all this content that we love. So we'll see you on the Discord, and we'll catch you on the next podcast.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.